You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I am coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan. Corey joins us live from Green Bay, Wisconsin, across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we welcome in two very special guests, very, very special guests. Joining us later in the program will be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Mr. Matt LaFleur. But right now, we have the distinct honor of welcoming the author of The Greatest Story in Sports, the definitive look at the first 100 years of the Packers, Mr. Cliff Kristol.
Yeah! Cliff, what is up? Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
My pleasure to be with you.
Now, obviously, Corey mentioned the title of the book, The Greatest Story in Sports. Such we obviously agree. Did you come up with that title? Is that something that was already there when you joined the Packers? Who came up with it and why?
During the process when I was hired, I mentioned that people in the Packer offices, I believe I mentioned it to Mark Murphy, and I think they bought in. I'm not sure they were fully aware of what a great and colorful story this was at that point in time, but I think they've come to realize that, and I feel it's certainly a fitting title.
Absolutely, obviously. I mean, the breadth, the depth that you go into is clearly incredible. There's been a couple of times I've heard you mention this as far as the project itself was kind of already in the works when you came on board as a historian, right? And anyone who reads your stuff online on the Packers website knows how detailed your work is and how much you already know. But I have to think after 100 years of history built up, et cetera, and myths needing to be busted, there had to have been a few surprises for you, even for yourself, someone who knows intimately each nook and cranny of this team's history. What surprised you the most going back and, you know, basically doing your research for the project?
Well, I think I continued to research as I was writing, and I think I found surprises almost every day. But Prohibition, for example, and the role it played in the Packers' survival. I knew it had played somewhat of a role, didn't realize the extent of it. The battle over whether Lambeau and Vic McCormick were going to turn the team into a privately held corporation, 1949-1950. I didn't grasp how close that came to happening. And then there were a lot of other things that just over time, the more I researched, like for example, that a lot of people beside me were even closer to Vince Lombardi, didn't buy into the fact that he had called Forrest Gregg his finest player. And I'm pretty sure that I didn't uncover the speech in Oshkosh where he called Paul Hornung his greatest player until sometime into the writing process. That was another surprise.
Now, we know that you've mentioned that not only was the project kind of already in the works, the Packers knew they wanted to do something special for the 100-year anniversary, some kind of book. Did the project change much when you came on board, obviously they let you spearhead it and drive it. Did they have a bit of an idea or a set idea of what they wanted? And did that change much when you came on board?
Well, I felt, and Mark Murphy, Aaron Popke, who I worked most closely with on the project, we all kind of thought, well, this will be a 300 to 500 page book. But soon after I started writing, I realized there are too many compelling stories here, just too great of a story to try to cover in 500 pages. I mean, David Marinus wrote 500 pages about Vince Lombardi.
Right.
So about every few months, I would go back and say, well, how about a second volume? How about a third volume? How about a fourth volume? And fortunately, they were all easy sells. And Mark Murphy was extremely supportive in this project, not only in allowing me to expand it from one book to four volumes, but also in his support for me to tell the unvarnished history of the team as well.
Speaking of unvarnished, you've never been shy when it comes to sharing your opinion on some of the charlatans and con artists, I think is the word you've used in the past, that have kind of gummed up the works when it comes to Packers history over the years. But one note I found interesting is you were pretty complimentary about Mark Beach's book, which came out a couple years ago. I think it did coincide with the 100-year anniversary. What did Mark get right that so many people got wrong? Or was it just a matter of he actually did the research?
That was basically it. He was diligent in his research. As I've told people, this to write the book that I did required a lot of work. But it wasn't brain surgery. It was just digging.
Lots of digging. I mean, you talked about how much you went back to the archives.
And Mark did a good job of that. You know, I started in the 1990s reading every page of the Green Bay Press Gazette from 1919 into the 1960s when I had started reading it as a teenager. And I mean, there's no richer repository, I don't believe, anywhere of a pro football team than what the Press Gazette wrote about the Packers, starting with George Calhoun, Val Schneider, and through the first 50 years. And so that was essential. But at the same time, I also did the same with the Milwaukee papers, which were a little more critical. And that allowed me to get some balance and also a better idea of what stories I needed to dig into more, because there might be a couple different versions.
Now, you mentioned the Milwaukee paper, and I'm glad you did, because obviously you spent time, a good amount of time, on the beat itself, covering the team before you became the historian. And it's interesting, as you note, the Milwaukee paper has traditionally been a little bit more critical. And one thing that is getting back to myth busting and rumors that have built up over the years, that I've been dying to ask you this pretty much my whole life as a blogger. There's always been a longstanding kind of idea or rumor about around us, the nerds who love the Packers and consume everything that's written about them, going back prior to the internet becoming a thing, that you and Bob McGinn were adversaries, that you were rivals, that you were bitter rivals. And I've never been able to ask Bob this, and so I would love to get your opinion. Is that something you were cognizant of, like as far as this public perception, that you and Bob were at each other's throats for stories and credit for leads, etc.? Or has that mostly been fabricated by geeks like myself?
Well, it changed over time. I was hired first and started on the beat at the Press Gazette in 1974. And it was determined at that time that we wanted to break from the Art Daily, Lee Remmel. The powers to be wanted to break from that tradition of supporting the team. And they told me to cover it as I would, as any other reporter would at a big city newspaper. So I did. I think it was about 5 years into that beat where Bob joined the Press Gazette staff. And then I became sports editor another 5 years or so after that. And I chose him to be the beat reporter. Gave him good reviews for his work. And then the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, or the Milwaukee Journal at the time, felt it was getting beat on the beat. And I didn't want to cover the beat, but they wanted me to do takeout stories. So they hired me in 1986. So then McGinn and I were competing against each other, and that was fierce. And then eventually I helped the journal was interested in hiring McGinn to cover the beat while I was doing a lot of this takeout stuff. And I worked with Chuck Salatura, our boss, to hire McGinn. So then we went through a period again where we worked together. And then toward the end of that period, I felt there were some things going on that I didn't agree with ethically in terms of journalistic principles. And so we kind of had a split at the end. And that's how it ended.
That sounds familiar. I want to get back to the book, obviously, and something that you mentioned in your interview with the Green Bay Press Gazette, something that it really took my breath away, Cliff, when I think you did the interview with Rich Ryman, at least he wrote it up, but you discovered during the researching of this book that your father, who reportedly you never really knew, was a huge Packers fan. And you only learned about it because of your research for this book. Is that true? Can you share that story? Because that, like I said, it really stopped me in my tracks when I read it.
Well, my father was an orphan. He was born in Green Bay, actually at the same hospital I was born in, like 28 years later. And he was adopted by the Crystal family, Peter Crystal and his wife, in Appleton in 1919. And then he served in World War II. Fought in the Battle of the Bulge, but he had been exposed to some kind of chemicals. I found in these letters that I recently uncovered that a doctor told him, or he had discussed with a doctor about being exposed to mustard gas. And so he came home from the war and he was diagnosed with cancer soon after that. So he was at Heinz Veterans Hospital in Chicago when I was born in 1947. And he died 13 days later. But actually after the book was finished and I was picking up on some loose ends that I had gotten into maybe 3-4 years ago, I found these letters that he had written to my mother in early March, 1947, weeks before he died, and basically the one about him being a Packer fan and asking my mother to send him clippings of Art Daily were written essentially while he was on his deathbed.
That's incredible. It's just incredible. Like I said, so it took my breath away. And it just reminds me of all the ways the team connects fans and families. Cliff Crystal joining us here, team historian for the Green Bay Packers. Cliff, I can't thank you enough for the time, talking to us just even a little bit about your process and the book itself. As a final kind of note here, not really a question, more of a comment to let you know, when we told people you were coming on the show, I had so many people reach out. They wanted to let you know, and I echo this, that your post-game chats when the internet was very first kind of starting kind of way
gold
to connect with fans.
Gold, people, gold.
Your post-game chats are still, to this day, the best content on the Green Bay Packers that the internet has ever produced. And it is
legendary.
Literally the reason I started writing and blogging about the team. I can't thank you enough because you were unvarnished and you were unmerciful. And you were very, very true to everything that was happening on the field, within the team, within the franchise. We are all forever indebted to your work. Thank you so much, Cliff.
Well, I appreciate the kind words. Thank you very much.
And I just want to add on to that, Nagler, one thing, and I told Cliff this in pre-game or pre-show. I just think it's incredible that this adds to your legacy, Cliff, that you are the first person in the history of this team to basically bring this team's legacy out in the forefront and show it for everyone to see. And it's because of you. It's your drive. It's your engine. And it's just incredible. And I thank you because I love this book. I've loved everything I've read about it. I've learned so much reading it. And I've read a lot of books about the Green Bay Packers. And it's incredible. So thank you.
Thank you. And that was my objective, to write something on almost every page that most fans would learn from.
Well, mission accomplished, sir. Cliff, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, and pleasure being with you.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Cliff Kristol, the Packers historian, joining us here on Packer Transplants Live. The greatest story in sports. Get it, people. Get it. Corey's got the volume right there. Look at that.
Hardcover. And, you know, the Packers, I want to give kudos to the Packers. It actually has a good value. Like, it's not, I thought it was going to be like $150 because it weighs like 60 pounds. And so it's incredible. I think it's $80, but every Packer fan should own this. Every Packer fan should have this in their house so that they can peruse it. It's an incredible piece of work, and it's almost amazing that it took a team that's been around for over 100 years this long to have something this definitive written about it.
Right. So. I mean, and it took someone as special as Cliff to do it. So, I mean, hiring him was one of their best moves. I mean, they've made some questionable moves. They made some great moves, and hiring Cliff is one of the best moves they've ever made. You ready, Banky? Let's get to it. Let's get to our regularly scheduled program. I think it's that time, Banky. You ready to throw down?
Yeah, so, hey, you know what we do here, people. It is time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Aaron Charles Rodgers.
We got the bad. We got
anybody tasked with returning a kick.
We got the ugly. We got
special teams. My God, special teams. Special teams. I'm not even going to say the thing that everybody says, which is not so special, special teams, because we all have said it. We've all thought it. But Banky, holy Toledo, we have now reached the point where every single time, it doesn't matter what phase, anytime special teams takes the field, kick return, kick coverage, punt return, field goal block, onside kick, anything, I'm holding my breath. Crazy. Just breath being held. That's a lot of holding your breath through a football game, I might add.
I would have just put Oren.
Just a debacle.
I would have just put Oren Burks in the ugly. That was what I would have done. But I don't write the script.
Man, wow.
Oh man,
I'm calling out
Oren
one guy.
Burke.
There was a
Oren Burks
systemic.
How about
Sunday
make
night.
A tackle, bro? How about make one tackle, the one key tackle, so the guy doesn't run it 100 yards back? Okay.
I mean, that guy is pretty talented.
Yay!
The guy in question, he's trying to tackle,
bro.
Say he gets paid
just,
too, you know.
Just
bruh.
Does Oren Burks have a killer instinct? Does anyone know?
Doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like it. Man, you're singling out Oren Burks. Everybody was bad. Even the Bojo Bomb had a shank. I mean, everybody.
I'm sorry. Have you
crapped the bed? Except for Mason Crosby.
I've watched that
yes,
play like 100 times.
Too many times to count. Yeah.
If Oren Burks makes that tackle, it's done. It's done.
Exactly. I know. I feel you. Let's get to your favorite part of the program, Banky. Let's wash our hands of the special teams, and let's talk about the hotness, shall we? Let's get it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's get to the hotness. Oh, yeah. It's time for the hotness. Oh, that's so good. Can we just play that all night? That's so great. I love that theme. So dope. All right. You know, lots of times we have big plays for the hotness, right? Whether on even like kick returns or pick sixes or big bombs to Devontae. This week, the hotness is featuring a block. A block by one Josiah DeGuara. Let's roll this. Look at Josiah here. From the I-form, your favorite, Banky. Go and look at him find this defensive back and obliterate him. Obliterate him. And then get so excited at the end there. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the hotness. The hotness doesn't need to be a big play. It can be anything. And this week, it's Josiah DeGuara obliterating a Bears defensive back. I love it so much, Banky. That's the hotness.
Pretty sweet. I like the blocking from this team. I like the blocking from this offense. I'm excited about it.
It's rounding into shape. I'll tell you what. On that, one other thing on that play that maybe people's eyes don't go right to is EQ blocking a defensive end to seal the edge. EQ. He's doing Lazard-type work out there. It's pretty hot. That's hotness right there. Okay, let's talk about some Packers news, shall we? Let's get to the news. Ladies and gentlemen, this just in, David Bakhtiari is back at practice. That's right. Number 69 in your program, number one in your hearts, David Bakhtiari, back at practice. Now, I don't expect this means that he's going
to
be out there on Sunday. But
didn't
he is back at practice.
Wasn't he back at practice like 5 weeks ago for a hot second?
Yes, and then he had a cleanup for his knee, and then he was out for a little bit, and now he's back at practice. So restart
really
the hype machine, Banky.
It,
I can tell. You're jumping out of your seat over there. I love it.
Well, because I would be if you were like, hey, he's playing, but it's hard to be excited about like.
I know. But we're a step closer to him playing. That's the point. I'm very excited about that. Okay. Talk about exciting. Packers have signed Juwan Winfrey to the 53-man roster. We saw him called up earlier this year when he was playing against Arizona. But now he is on the 53-man roster. Have to think he will be immediately thrust into a special teams role or two. We'll see how much he plays from scrimmage. I doubt we see him extensively. But he is on the 53-man roster. Very exciting for that young man. Speaking of continuing to practice, Jair Alexander, no setbacks, back at practice. Guy hasn't played since week four, obviously, with that shoulder injury, but getting closer, inching closer. See, now we're picking up some steam. That's right. So Jair, back at practice. Now, we got some more news. Obviously, a lot of this is always going to be centered around injuries because it's late in the year and it's football. Billy Turner did go down Sunday night against the Bears, but apparently his injury is not season-ending, and that is good news. So Billy Turner's going to be out for a while, but his season is not over. So that's good, both from the reporting, and Matt mentioned it on the at the podium the other day, and including today, he backed it up. And then finally, Corey Banky, I know what a huge fan you are of practice squad signings, so I had to include this. The Packers have signed center Michael Mennett to the practice squad. And this is really only noticeable and notable because of the fact that he is a former draft pick for the Arizona Cardinals. We've had success with Devondre Campbell and, of course, with Rasul Douglas. Got to think third time's the charm. Michael Mennett, clearly going to be a future Hall of Famer, considering that everybody we get from the Cardinals seems to pan out. I love it. Eat it, learn it, love it. What we got? We got like 8 minutes until Coach is supposed to be here, so I suppose we can dive
into the Coach
problem.
Although, I think Coach is going to be on Lombardi time.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Do you think, not only this, that is he going to be on Lombardi time, and or does he Larrivee us? That's what I want.
I think there's a really
like he
good
could just not show up.
Us.
He could just not show up.
Yeah.
Waller said he's gonna like be there to make sure he gets on, but I don't know if I trust either of those guys. Yeah, we'll see. All right.
Fair point.
All right. Let's talk about the offense. Let's talk about Alan Lazard stepping up when he's needed. Obviously, Randall Cobb went down last week. Who's gonna fill that role? Well, this past week against the Bears, it was Alan Lazard. Not only in the receiving category, moving around, being very versatile, still doing everything that's asked of him in the run game, coming in hot with the blocking. Alan Lazard reminded people of what he can do. And I know Aaron Rodgers point blank said after the game, you know, he's been disappointed in himself the past couple weeks. Hasn't really, you know, Aaron's given him a few chances and he hasn't been able to come down with stuff. But man, he reminded folks what he can do on Sunday night. Big, big, big time. And then someone we just talked about with the hotness, Josiah DeGuara, heating up, really starting to get it, man. You look at some of his blocks, like the one we showed, obviously also producing in the passing game. I'm not ready to say he's like ready to replace Tonyan, because, you know, I think that's a bit premature, but you talk about a guy who's rounding into shape at just the right time and hopefully able to give this team a bit more, a lot more from the tight end position as they go down the stretch here. You'd love to see it. Between him and Big Dog, that was some fun stuff from the tight end group on Sunday night.
Big Dog's just getting started. Big Dog hasn't even, like,
right?
I feel like Big Dog is just hitting his stride right now.
I agree.
He's been incredible in the last 4 or 5 weeks. He's just been an incredible tight end for us in so many ways.
And look at the targets he got this week. I mean, yep. Rodgers was throwing to him with abandon. I love it. And then, of course, we'd mentioned Billy Turner going down with an injury. Dennis Kelly, ladies and gentlemen, it's his time to shine. And I can't tell you how many times this year I've had,
wow,
seemingly every week, I've had one or two people in my mentions. I've gotten a few emails about it. Why is Dennis Kelly on this team? Where is he? Blah, blah, blah. And I know earlier in the year he had been dealing with a back injury. But, you know, people were like, why did we sign this guy? Sunday night is why they signed that guy. Remember, last NFC Championship game, when a big reason they lost was a lack of depth at the tackle position? Sing Brian Gutekunst's praises, people. This guy is on your roster, a 17-game starter last year with the Titans, comes in on a Sunday night in December, hasn't played a lick of ball, and as Matt said, graded out well. That's you talk about a luxury. Are you kidding me? Week 14, you got a guy to be able to come in as your, what, fourth tackle? Man, that's baller status right there. Baller status. You got anything else on the offense before we switch to defense there, Benke?
No, but I would like the offense to kind of like not wait a whole entire half before they start working.
Oh, we'll talk to Coach about that one. I got something for Coach for that. Yeah, I'm with you, though.
I never was really worried, though, I'll be honest with you. I never.
Oh, I wasn't either.
I mean, I'm never.
I
was like, this is just, I mean,
this is true because, you know,
I know we want to get in. Go ahead.
What were you going to say?
You went to the
game. Oh, I was going to say, I went to the game with Zabe, and Zabe at like right before half said, so if they lose this game, what does that do for seeding?
Yeah.
And I just did a slow burn turn to him and I said, they're not fucking losing this game.
No.
And I will confirm that with Zabe on the air tomorrow morning because that is exactly what I said. And lo and behold, they didn't lose. I'm sorry. What were you going to say? You were going to mention something.
Classic radio guy making drama in the moment. God. If they lose this game, you're not on the radio right now, Zabe. It's okay, buddy. No, what I was going to say is, you know, Rasul Douglas, I know we're going into defense, but holy cow.
Oh,
how
yeah.
did we get this
oh,
guy?
Oh, my God.
Like, I know where – I know
– Again,
I know
Brian Gutekunst.
Devondre Campbell, okay, was going to be the guy that we thought, and he still is, right? The guy where we're like, holy crap, how did this guy land on our team? We haven't had a linebacker in like 25 years. Since, you know, Diggs, just kidding. But you know, now we got Rasul Douglas. It's like, this is the kind of, you know, momentum type of players that come out of nowhere that happen in seasons that something
special
happens
season.
Where you hoist this,
yes.
you know, this special thing. It's just like, it's one of those things where, like, you know, who would have thought a pick six? Who would have thought
two
that
in a row.
From Rasul Douglas? Two in a row. Like, one time is an anomaly. Two times is a trend. You know what I'm saying?
I'm telling you. And he's literally the first Incredible. Packer to do it in back-to-back games since Herb Adderley. Even Charles Woodson didn't do it. What?
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's incredible.
That's crazy.
That's incredible. And you gotta, like, what? How do you get rid of a guy like that? You know what I mean? It's like us getting rid of Micah Hyde. You know what I mean? At least we knew what
all
we
right,
had
all right,
Micah Hyde.
All right, all right. We're not talking about the offseason. We're not talking about the offseason. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk.
I'm
living the moment,
like,
Banky.
How do you get a guy like that?
Live in the now. You don't.
Oh, I'm living in the now.
I don't.
It's just how do you get Devondre Campbell and Rasul Douglas? How does that happen? Like, if this season goes as well as it is, those two players are a key reason why. And it's kind of incredible.
No question.
You know, Joe Barry, the man himself, and Rasul Douglas and Devondre Campbell holding up this defense, holding up this incredible top three ranked defense in the NFL, by the way.
Speaking of names and guys helping the defense and holding it up, talking about the defense, let's talk about Preston Smith for a second, shall we? Preston Smith, ladies and gentlemen, he read your tweets. Yeah. Remember last year? And into the off season, marching towards the end of the league year, my Twitter was a cascade of they have to cut Preston. They got to cut Preston Smith. How they live with Preston Smith. They got to get rid of Preston Smith. Ladies and gentlemen, he read your tweets. And he is here. He is here for a reckoning. Because holy cow. It seems like every week this guy makes a big play. Again this week, the strip sack fumble against Fields. I love this guy. I love it. I love how well he's playing. He holds up so well against the run. He absolutely dominates when he gets that bend underneath the tackle. Here's the other thing I love. Both he and Rashawn Gary have caused strip sack fumbles on plays they've been held. In the last two games against the Rams,
yep.
Gary was held, caused a fumble. Preston, held, caused a fumble. So keep holding them, guys. I'm down with it. But Preston Smith read your tweets, folks. That's all I know.
Well, and I just, you really have this sense from our front line that they hold each other up so well. You know, Rashawn Gary's motor going into Preston Smith. You got our lunch pail guys that we like. It's just,
Tyler and
this
Dean.
We should make a
Tyler
and
Dean
and Barnes ad for that. Tyler and Dean, the lunch pail kids.
Tyler and Dean,
the lunch pail. We're gonna bring our lunch pail to.
We're gonna come to work with our lunch pails.
We're coming to work. But no, this defense. You kind of have this vision. I don't know. I have this vision right now, Nagler. I'm seeing us. You know, there's a 99-point-something% chance that we make the playoffs. I just want to let everybody know that.
Okay.
According.
Shh. Okay. Let's just be.
But I'm just saying, like.
Got to go 1-0, Banky.
I know. But you kind of. Whoa. I don't know what happened there. I think that was lightning. You kind of got a
that's,
feeling.
That's
that,
coach arriving. He's coach is like. He's like teleporting over to your house, I think.
I was like, what the heck just happened? I just heard some crazy. But you kind of got this feeling that, you know, when we do get to the playoffs in the future, next month, you get a different sense of this defense can hold us up. This defense can hold each other up, right? And so, you know, that's what's really
complimentary
about
football,
what we're seeing. Yeah, it's incredible what we're seeing these last 3 weeks. It's actually mind-blowing how incredible it is from this defense.
Talking about incredible, this defense, 271 pressures generated per Pro Football Focus. That's the fourth highest in the NFL. I hear a lot of people talking about how they need to pressure more. They need to get more pressure on the quarterback. I heard it in the stands on Sunday night. Oh, they need to blitz more. No, they're doing okay. They're doing all right. They're doing just fine, rushing four most of the time. I think Barry's done a really nice job, actually, of not just blitzing for blitzing's sake. He's done a really good job of letting those four guys get after it, whoever those four might be. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a different combination a lot of times, but I think they've done a really good job. Speaking of doing a really good job, Banky, you know who does a really good job?
Who's that?
That'd be one Matt LaFleur. He's a who has, a winning percentage. This is true. His winning percentage right now through his first 45 games is at 800. 800. All right.
What?
The highest winning percentage of any coach with at least 50 NFL games belongs to Guy Chamberlain, who won 784% of his games from 22 to 27. John Madden is the modern era leader at 759. Only four coaches ever are over 70%. Matt's got five games to go to keep it over all of them.
He needs
and
a fedora.
And what do you know? He joins us. He seems to be joining us right now. The man I was just talking about, the guy who's done all that, there he is.
Ladies, oh, my goodness.
Joining us now.
Wow.
Matt LaFleur. Matt, how are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
I mean, we had Cliff Christie. I got you. I mean, it's incredible.
You know, I get on here, you guys start talking nice about me. It's a heck of a deal.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how that happened. I don't know. You just hit us at the right time, Matt. I don't know. I had no idea.
I don't know what you're really saying.
No clue. No, I don't know. Well, hey, we're about to. Okay, I'm glad you asked. Because, sir, last time you were on this here program, sitting in that very chair, you chastised me because I didn't have fastballs for you. Or not enough fastballs. So I got some fastballs for you.
Wow.
I'm ready to bring the heat, sir. So, but first of all,
I'll tell you what,
you bring the heat every day, Aaron.
What are you talking about? You bring the heat every day at the press conference. I asked about quad formations today. That's not heat.
I liked it.
That's just funny.
I know. It was good. You've been studying.
I mean, I'm
you didn't
sure
play
you're...
coach's animation you're... for him, Nagler.
All right. Let's do it. Know,
we got to play it.
All right. You ready? Okay. Well, Matt, we're going to reset Matt the interview.
Is awesome.
There you go. Matt LaFleur joining us here on Packers Fans.
Now it's official.
I can send that to you if you want it as your ringtone, Matt. That'd be great. Or you can give it to your friends and family. You know, they can, whenever you call that plays, I think that'll work. I think that'd be good.
I know my wife didn't make that.
Maybe she did. I don't know. Well, she probably sent it to us. Okay. Before we get into all the football stuff, how are you? How was your bye week? You know, we know you see you on the podium all the time, but you know, you got a little chance to get away from things. Hopefully. How was your bye week? Did you do anything fun? You know, how was life away from football for a few days?
Oh, it was great. It was a good time to kind of recharge the battery. I think most of our guys got away a little bit and spent a few days with my family and took a little vacation and then came back to the nice temperatures of Green Bay.
Yeah, you're not lying, man. It was winter when I was there this weekend, and then I got back to New York, and it's like 55 degrees out here. It's ridiculous. All right, that's enough nicety. Let's get to football. It was nice today, yeah, of course. But when I was there, it's always nice and cold. Hey, how you doing? Was that tea? What are you drinking there? You doing right?
I just started doing this. So I lost my voice last week. I mean, you guys heard me. I sounded awful. Worse than
Friday's
usual.
Fun.
So I've been doing a little tea. Hackett got me on it.
Nice.
Well, I hope that's all he gets you into, because I don't want you getting into, like, you know, break dancing or Star Wars or whatever other things that, you know, he could potentially influence you with.
You don't have to worry about that.
All right. Thank God. Thank goodness. All right. How much of a challenge is it, Matt? I mean, you come back from your bye week. You've got a quarterback who can't practice. I mean, you got to go all week. He's doing whatever he's doing as far as rehab goes. I know he's been out there a little bit more recently, late in the week last week, but he's gone a long stretch now. You're going back to the Arizona game where he hasn't been on the practice field. What kind of challenge is that? How hard is it? I know you've got, you know, in past weeks you've had Jordan Love. This past week you had Kurt Benkert running with the ones, but how hard is it to prepare for a game where your starting quarterback is just not at practice?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a challenge, but you have those challenges every week. I think the hardest thing is just, if you want to incorporate some new concepts, it's just, he doesn't have the live practice reps to get the timing down with the other, you know, with the other guys on the field. So I think that's the most challenging thing from an offensive perspective.
Speaking of offensive perspectives, early game, whether it's, you know, here against Chicago, going back to the Seattle game, I mean, it's really kind of been all year. We've talked about it before, but you guys have really struggled early in games. And last year, you guys were lights out in games. Now, obviously, every year is different. Teams adjust, both yourselves and your defensive counterparts. But you keep coming out and slinging it around. This past Sunday, three straight passes. You know, again, a quarterback who hasn't practiced a whole lot. Why don't you try switching it up? Why don't you come out, Just button it up Belichick style with Mac Jones and just run the ball like 20 times just to get, you know, just to get into the flow of the game and lather up those running backs and offensive line. And then, you know, then ease your quarterback into it. How about that?
Well, did you see what number our quarterback wears? Number 12. He's pretty good.
I did. Yeah, no, so, he is pretty good. But okay, but he's not practicing. This is my.
I hear you. So, truth be told, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The first play of the game was a run pass can, and
okay,
Chicago did a decent job. They did a really good job of holding their rotation. They pressured us. And our back, Aaron Jones, did a great job of aborting, and we still got a 6-yard gain on the first play of the game. So it was a positive play. Now, the second play, not so positive.
Not so much. Right. I feel you. I say these things out of love, Matt. You know this. You know where I'm coming from here.
He annoys me, Matt. All he talks about all game is when are they going to run the ball? When are they going to run the ball? When are they going to run the ball? I'm sure he annoys the crap out of you in the press conferences about it. He's trying to, like, always change his question around about how he can, like, ask you how you're going to run the ball.
Well, are you guys big fantasy football players?
No. I'm a purist.
I suck at fantasy football.
Well, that's a relief because that's usually what people get mad about is their fantasy.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, yeah, I know.
I don't play fantasy football because the times where I played fantasy football, there was one moment where I almost rooted against the Packers, and that was the last time I ever played fantasy football.
How could you do that, Corey?
Confirm that report.
I can't. That's why I can't play it. I'm a purist. I can't do it.
Well, you know what's interesting, though, is a year ago, I think you guys were giving us crap for not making – good enough halftime adjustments. We'd always come out strong the first half.
Sir, we would never. Yeah. You have us confused with some other outlet, sir. Right. We would never.
There's people out there.
I've defended the thing about halftime adjustments. Okay. Now, that is true. That is true. You don't lump us in with the great unwashed, sir. That's all I ask. But I've learned one thing.
I
hear you about the halftime adjustments.
Until you score on every possession, it's not going to be good enough, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because that's my expectation as well.
As it should be, right? I mean, you're not out there just trying to make things look nice. You're trying to score. I get it. Speaking of struggling, you know, we were talking about early game struggles. And this, I promise, will be the only question about special teams, but I got to ask. We're heading into week 15 here. And special teams, a bit of a bugaboo on your squad. You've undoubtedly tried a lot of stuff. I have zero doubt that you're working hard, you and Mo, trying to get it done. But I have, you know, I just have this one question. Have you tried the Urban Meyer method? Have you tried just kicking the shit out of your specialists? I don't know. You probably haven't read this. You haven't read this about Urban Meyer today. I don't know if you saw the news, but hey, why not, right?
I actually did see that. I have a hard time commenting on that, Aaron.
All right. That's fair. No. I'm just, well, you know, I see if in case you're like,
you're doing,
you know,
the coach now, Nagler is
results.
Nagler. Now he's not coming on our show. Coach, I have two questions for you. And there, one is a hardball question. And here's my hardball question. Would you ever consider wearing a fedora on the field as a coach, because you are up there? Every other coach that has as good of a record as you wears a fedora.
I'll tell you what, Corey, we win the Super Bowl, I'll wear a fedora.
Oh, snap. There we go. A little Lombardi action. My second question, coach, is, did you know I made a drink called the La Floridora just for you?
Somebody mentioned that to me. How was it?
It's very good. It's raspberry syrup. It's lime, fresh lime. It's gin. So I hope you like gin. And then it has some ginger beer. It's pretty nice. It's pink. But I don't know how you feel about pink, but sorry about that. But it's actually an old, like, 1930s drink. And it's an old 1930s drink that I kind of spruced up. But, I was going to make a drink called, I was going to do a hot toddy and call it the hot coachy. But I thought that was too on the nose, so I don't know how you think about that. But
yeah, I like the other one better. I'll try it one of these days. You'll have to make it for me, and I'll come over there and try it.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes,
the old
sir.
Promise. Yeah, he's going to cross the street and come over. Yeah, we've been told that before, LaFleur. We know what that's worth. All right, let's get back to football. Back to football here. All right. You mentioned something on Monday that I found fascinating, and I know you probably can't go into monstrous detail here, but the football nerd in me really wants to ask you about what you said in regards to coming out of halftime on Sunday night, resequencing your script with plays that you hadn't run yet, and that was essentially how you built the drive to start the second half where, you know, you guys really got in a rhythm. Obviously, you ran AJ a bit. You had some quick passes, etc. What is that process like? Is that literally just you and Hackett sitting there on an iPad or something, or I don't know, maybe even on paper, and saying, okay, we're going to go X, Y, Z, like 1, 2, 3. This is the order we're going to go in, or is it still somewhat fluid?
No, yeah, it's a little fluid, but I would say the first 5 plays that we ran in the second half were exactly what we talked about. Typically, we'd script anywhere between 6 and 8 plays, and they were already on the call sheet. So it was all the offensive coaches. We were all huddled around going over the plays, because typically what we'd like to do is we want those position coaches to go to their position group and kind of just make sure everybody's on the same page, kind of go over any key coaching points on some of those plays. But we kind of just renumbered plays that we hadn't gotten to up to that point. Because ironically enough, we'd only made it through about halfway through our script when you take out all the situational ball. And yeah, luckily for us, our guys went out there and did a great job of executing.
What happened to all the bunch sets and rub routes from last year? Because that was like seemingly a base part of your offense. Now this year, it's all 5 wide, empty, throw it around the yard. And I know y'all love getting it in 12's hands and letting it happen. But last year, it seemed like you guys did that a ton. And you did it the first play against Minnesota, and Devontae goes for 40. But it just doesn't seem like it's a staple this year. Is that like one of those where you didn't want to show a lot of what you did last year and you're trying to move forward? Or is it just a case of it just hasn't come up in the plan?
Well, I would say it's a little bit of both. I do think that any time that you have the success that our offense did last year, everybody's studying you. And I will say the league, especially the defenses around the league, have done a much better job covering all those crossing routes. They're passing them off better. And so it always comes back full circle. So there's going to be a time that, as a matter of fact, we ran one the other night and Aaron threw it outside to Alan Lazard on basically an inside fade route on the right sideline. But, you know, to their credit, Chicago gloved our inside crossing patterns that we were trying to get open.
Yeah, they did. I mean, I know that it was a wild game. It was a weird game. But, man, that Bears defense is well coached. There were a number of times where it looked like you got, like Aaron mentioned, the play that ends up as a touchdown to Aaron Jones. But that's, you know, scheme that's designed for Big Dog. And they're all over it. Like, they were – yeah, they're well coached. That's very clear. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, I've wanted to ask this all year. And I know, like, this is not meant to be dramatic, but it is something that I've been asked a lot. I've been asked a lot, and I try to be the conduit for the fans. Was 12 coming back this past summer? And obviously we're not going to rehash all that. But was his coming back somewhat, I don't want to say predicated on, but was the agreement – we're going to run more of what he wants? Because it does seem like this year you've seen a lot of return of a lot of the stuff he did under Mike, whether it is empty, whether it is 5-wide, whatever you want to like point to. There seems to be a lot more of what you guys were doing in 2019 when you guys talked a lot about meshing what he was comfortable with what you do. You go to last year, seems like there was a lot more of your style of offense. This year, it seems like we're kind of back to a lot more of a blend of the two. Was that a discussion, or is that a figment of everyone's imagination?
Definitely a figment of everybody's imagination, because each week we get together, our offensive staff, we put together the game plan, and then we kind of go over it with him before we install it to our whole unit. And, you know, I would say 90% of the time he's all, even more than that, probably 95% of the time he's on board with everything. There might be a play here or play there that he's not so sure of. And especially now, right now, we always got to be mindful of the fact that he's not out there practicing these. So yeah, you absolutely want to do plays that he has banked reps on, but you know, every now and again, we won't have a play in, and he'll just, hey, what about this play? And I would say the majority of the time we'll add it, or we'll give him a reason as to, you know, why we might not like a play. But that kind of goes, that those talks go on throughout the week, each and every game.
Obviously. Well, like I said, I've been asked a lot about it, and I'm not going to lie, I've wondered about it myself. So always good to talk to the source. We're talking to Matt LaFleur here on Packer Transplants Live. I've got a few more questions for you, Matt, before I let you go. Seriously, we've talked a lot about the offense. Let's talk about your defense for a second. What did you know about Joe Barry that no one else knew?
That nobody else knew?
Apparently, because as I asked you in the press conference, you know the public reception of that hire. That was not a popular hire around Packer fandom. I think the media went after you a little bit for it, but I think Joe has proven a lot of people wrong. What did you know? Because he was not successful his first two stops as a coordinator, and he's been pretty damn successful in Green Bay.
Well, I think you got to look at the totality of every situation that everybody's in. I know I kind of experienced that myself in Tennessee, and I would say a big reason Joe Barry's here is, first of all, I know what kind of man he is. I know the kind of coach he is. I know the energy he brings. And it was more or less just a gut feeling, like, that this is the right guy to get everybody on the same page and going in the same direction.
I mean, he's certainly done that. You can't argue.
What an incredible hire.
Everything. Yeah. I mean, 100%. I mean, it's kind of, you got to understand, Matt, as Packers fans for the last, you know, couple decades,
we haven't had a defense in like 20 years, for God's sake.
It's just weird.
We had one weird time in 2010, and that's it.
Well, you got to give our players a lot of credit too. And I mean, not only the players, but the other coaches. I mean, it is a collective effort, and you know, we've had some key pickups in Devondre Campbell, Rasul Douglas, Stokes has come in and he's played at a really high level. So, you know, you got to give Goody and his staff a ton of credit for finding those guys, and just it's meshed well.
Oh, there's no question about it. Do you marvel at Rasul Douglas like the rest of us? Because I mean, he's literally on his fifth team at this point, sitting there on a practice squad and then coming in and just lighting it up for you. I mean, he's doing stuff that hasn't been done since Herbert Adderley was with the team. I mean, I know you see him every day in practice, what have you, and so it's probably not a surprise to you, but are you a bit surprised, maybe even a little bit, that he's come in and inserted himself and been so productive and played at such a high level?
Well, I think I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't surprised, because anytime you bring in a player that late in into the season, you don't really know. But for him to pick it up as fast as he has and, you know, going out there and made the plays that he has, obviously made three very, very impactful plays. The two pick sixes and then the pick at Arizona, and then shoot, the play he made on special teams the other night, covering the gunner, enticing him to run out of bounds.
Smart play.
Holding his hands up. I mean, this guy is a pro. He is constantly watching tape around the facility. If he's in the hot tubs, cold tubs, he's got his iPad there. So it's not a shocker to me, in terms of after getting to know him and seeing how he approaches it, this guy's a pro. And Jerry Gray and Ryan Downard, you got to give those guys a lot of credit for just getting him up to speed so quickly. But also just that entire DB room the culture in that room is unlike any I've ever seen in just in terms of how these guys compete with one another on a daily basis. From just, you got to go in there. I wish I could have you guys in there on a Saturday sometime and just hearing all the commotion that's going on there. Just the safeties going against the corners on a quiz on the board. I mean, it gets super competitive. And, you know, we got a great group. It's just a great group of guys.
Do you have anything like that with your coaching staff? Like, you guys get after, like, offense versus defense or anything like that?
I wouldn't say in season. We're pretty busy in season, so. Right. But certainly in the off season, absolutely.
Oh. Matt LaFleur talking to us here on Packer Transplants Live. Before I let you go, Matt, I just have, you know, something that I got to ask. I feel compelled to ask, only because it raises my blood pressure seemingly every Sunday. Why do you and Aaron hate timeouts so much? Like, what is it about timeouts that you just feel like you can just, like, toss them around like they're nothing, like they don't mean anything, like, especially in the second half? Like, man, why do you hate timeouts?
That was one game. I think we've done a decent
job.
Oh,
sir. Sir. Game.
We've done a good job of holding our timeouts.
You have.
There's been instances. There was a play in Minnesota, I remember, that in the second half. But especially as you're getting down to it, like this last week, we have a lead. You know, somebody may or may not have, I'm not going to say who, but somebody may or may not have lined up in the right position. So you burn a timeout there. You just, every play is so critical. And I think when you have a lead, I was okay with burning those timeouts versus it's different. It's a different story when you're down, you can't afford to use those. But I promise you, Aaron and Corey, we'll do better for you this week.
Okay. All right. We don't need that. All right. I'm just saying, man, just, you know, second half timeouts are a premium and you're,
I hear you. I agree with you. And we're going to get better. I'm glad you put me on the spot. That's a challenge. I love challenges.
Hey, how about AJ Dillon on short yardage? Not bad, right? He's doing okay.
I'll tell you what, I wish I would have listened to you a long time ago.
No, I'm just giving you.
You want to come coach for us, Aaron?
You grief. No, just relax. Stop. You know I'm just giving you grief.
Man, I'll love talking shit if he was the coach. I would be talking shit about him all the time. I would break my own rule and talk shit about play calling if he was the coach. That would be hilarious.
That's true. And I will say, Corey never talks junk about play calling. That he is a perfect fan.
Nope. That's your prerogative, coach.
That's I do it all the time.
As soon as we get out of this COVID era, I'm going to have you guys in here and we're going to watch a game together. And I want to hear your breakdown, your expertise, okay, just so I can take notes and apply it to next year.
I have an even better idea. All right. Well, what I want to do, and I've thought about pitching this to Jason. So I'm just going to pitch it to you right here live. I want you to come over to Banky's house and I'm going to play a game of Madden. And I want you to give me shit about all my play calling. Because that way, we can even the playing field here. We'll have like a Matt LaFleur watch party. There you go.
Are you any good at Madden?
I'm okay. I can hold my own.
I'll bring my son over and see if you can beat him.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, no. See, how do I? Okay, that's not even fair. How am I going to, like, exactly, but how do I play?
His butt beat real awesome.
Like, the LaFleur kid, I'm not going to, I'm not going to beat your son at Madden. Like, you know.
You probably won't. No. That's why I'm going to bring him over there.
All right. Okay.
I'll tell you,
we'll see.
Back in the day, I could play some Madden and some NCAA football. Back in the day.
That was.
I have no time now.
Right.
And you guys don't want me wasting my time practicing.
Let me tell you, no, we don't. But now you sound like Wes Hodquist. You know, Packers.com, Wes Hodquist has been threatening me with a good time of a Madden challenge game, whatever. But every time he does, he talks about, I haven't played in so long, like, blah, blah. So he's already, like, setting the expectation of his loss. So, yeah.
That's why I'm going to have my kid come. I'll have Luke come over here.
I love, by the way, that was, like, one of the first things you talked about when you got named head coach, about your son being excited that you would be in Madden. Like, that's got to be surreal. That's so cool. I love it. Matt, I can't thank you enough for hanging out, man. Thank you for taking the time. I know you're a busy man, and the fact that you spend any time at all here with us on Cheesehead TV really means a lot. Thank you, sir.
Hey, no worries. You're just cutting into my sleep. It's all good.
Okay. All right. Yeah, go. Just drink your tea and watch some
film. I will. Trust me. I got to get this voice back. So I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Coach.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Coach. Have a great night.
All right. You guys too. Take care.
There you go. Matt LaFleur live right here on Packer Transplants Live. Banky, how you doing, buddy?
Did you see the lightning over me just now? That was crazy.
Is there lightning going
right
on? That's
Coach
more
left,
more
like lightning
Coach,
over Lambo.
Coach is like Thor. He just brings it. You know, when he's there, the lightning arrives. Banky, we're at an hour, so I don't know if we want to do the rest of the script or if we just want to sign off here.
Yeah, let's.
That was awesome.
No, let's go into. That was awesome. Thanks, Coach, for coming on. He's always such a. He's always been great to us. It's pretty incredible. Incredible. The time that he's spent with us. You know, that's our third year with Coach.
I know, right? That's kind of crazy.
It's crazy. But, yeah, let's keep going. We're talking about defense. I think we should go into – maybe we go right into blogosphere, huh?
Let's just go into blogosphere. Let's do it. Let's do it, Jeremy. Let's hit it.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
Oh! This week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Ladies and gentlemen, oftentimes during Packer blogosphere, we like to highlight what other people are doing around the internet when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. But today, we're going to highlight something Cheesehead TV did, and more importantly, you did over the course of the last week. That's right, Cheesehead TV was partnered with Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin, and I cannot express our gratitude enough when it comes to Packers fans pitching in, raising $24,000 to provide 96,240 meals for those in need in eastern Wisconsin. That is absolutely incredible. Thank you to each and every one of you who donated. Unbelievable. Unbelievable response. Incredible generosity. Cheesehead TV was really, obviously, very proud to partner with Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin, and you guys really made it happen, so thank you. Corey, I'm still kind of in shock that that all happened. Like, it was like a week.
It's incredible.
It was like the early part of the week, I was like, oh gosh, are we gonna are we, like, our goal was $10,000 and we hit $24,000.
It's incredible.
Like, early in the week, I was like, are we even gonna hit 10? And then we obliterated it, and that's thanks to Packers fans, of course.
Yeah, it's thanks to Packers fans. And also, you know, some of the Green Bay media helping us out, get the message out. Got to get
No doubt. No doubt. No question. They the message was carried far and wide. No doubt about it. One other thing we're excited to announce, speaking of Cheesehead TV and things going on and partnerships, we are partnering with DraftKings Sportsbook app, DraftKings in general. That's right, DraftKings Sportsbook app, available now. Use promo code Cheesehead. That's promo code Cheesehead. The DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new players a deposit bonus of $1,000 in free credits with their first deposit. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and check out all they have to offer, including same-game parlays, player props, live betting, and so much more. DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, and that's a possibility, don't forget about the DraftKings Fantasy app. They are offering millions of dollars in total prizes every week. So get on it, folks. And you know who has the DraftKings Sportsbook app, Corey Banky? Patreon member Oz Osborne, who says, and I quote, "I've won a lot of money on there." So listen to Oz. Get yourself the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Loving it. Should we hear from the fine folks in the chat, Senior Banky?
Yeah, we actually don't have a lot in the chat, surprisingly. We usually have a lot more. I got.
Everybody's paying attention to the interviews. That's why.
Yeah, they're actually watching the show as opposed to chatting. I got a super chat from Podcast 1919. fans over this toe. Do we forget AR-12 played through an MCL sprain and torn calf? He's going to drop dimes and suck it signs. Chill, Packer.
Word.
Go Pack Go, number one NFC.
Love it. Love it.
Thanks for super chat. JD, can't wait to see Matt week one of 2022 season wearing a fedora on the sideline. Me too.
I just think it's
appropriate considering he, you know, he
how good he is.
He's got all the records, and the only people that are his comparables, that's what they did. They wore fedoras. Then we got Justin. Justin was looking forward to this show. So he's got, thanks for super chat, Justin. Tonight was great, guys. Happy holidays to everyone at Cheesehead TV.
Happy holidays, Justin. Thanks so much for the support, buddy.
Yeah, and we didn't get, for some reason, we weren't pulling in the Facebook. So if you're on Facebook right now watching, it's not because I was ignoring you. Normally, I try to bring in some Facebooks. Appreciate you watching us on Facebook. For some reason, our socials weren't coming in, so I don't have those.
Shout out to Facebook.
But shout out to the people watching us on Facebook. And oh, we got Uncultured. I'm going to add this to the queue right now. Uncultured Barbarian. Hopefully, LaFleur's kid plays Madden better than Grassi. Oh! Snap daddy. Who's Grassi?
Who's Grassi? I think he was on our program last night. Who's Grassi?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was. He was in the chat. He actually, I almost put his super chat. I've almost, not a super chat, but I almost put a chat from him where he basically rolled his eyes when LaFleur said that his kid was good at Madden, which I think was awesome. Yeah, I see them now. And I got some more Nagler because people are realizing
more.
What I'm doing and they're putting him in. Right. Overshadow Sean, thanks for super chat. Faux show. All right. Keith Wilder, what a show. The two interviews were amazing. I love when Coach is on. He's such a good guy. Thank you guys for everything that you do. Appreciate you,
Thank
Keith.
You,
Thanks
man.
Thanks for the comment.
Thanks, Keith.
Appreciate it. RC, should we just shelf Rodgers this year on ST?
On special teams? What?
I don't understand. Maybe.
I'm confused.
I don't know.
RC,
Legless
confused.
Fan, thanks for the... RC, also RC, I didn't have a cockroach. It was actually a ladybug on the window. I got ladybugs in the sunroom. I was doing
Packers Daily on Monday, there was a ladybug right behind me. That's so cool.
Yeah, I have to tell people not to kill my ladybugs because I like them. So I don't want you to kill. Don't kill my ladybugs.
No killing. No killing.
And also ladybugs are good because they're predators of like aphids and things that can get on my lime tree. Here we go. Legless Bang. I hope Nags crushes LaFleur's son in Madden.
See, this is why I can't. People are going to be rooting for me to beat the kid. No, I can't have that. No. Nope. Nope.
Pack Fan 39. You think Ravens will blitz a lot?
Yes. 1,000% yes. It was something I was going to ask Matt about, like the Chiefs game and Jordan Love and his handling of the all-out pressure, but yeah, we're not about looking back too much. So, but yes, I think the Ravens don't have, like, they're so decimated in their secondary. I think their best bet is to blitz the shit out of the Packers and hope they can cause some havoc, because God knows they can't hold up on the back end. They don't have anybody who can cover Devontae, not even close. So yeah, I do think they will send a lot of pressure.
Jocelyn, thanks to the super chat. Matt LaFleur seems really relaxed and open to fans when you guys interview him. Very cool to see. Thank you both. It's all Matt.
Thank you, Jocelyn.
With us.
It's not us. Matt is the man. Yep.
It's all Matt. He's incredible. And that he actually comes on our show, I think, is incredible. Most hated Minnesotan. Finally got my stock certificate today. Glad I caught Cliff and Matt live tonight. Made for a great end to a great day. Wow, you got a stock certificate.
Awesome.
We got to talk to Cliff. That's pretty amazing.
Pretty dope.
And that's all I got. That's all I got, Nagler. There's where we are. And also, yeah, it was Amari Rodgers, which I think there's the ratio right now is there's more people that want Matt LaFleur's son to beat you than they want you to beat him. So I'm just letting you know where we are.
But this is my I can't in good conscience like play the coach's son in Madden and beat him. I can't do it.
So
like,
what you're saying is you're going to let him win?
I kind of have to, don't I?
I don't think so.
All right.
I think he's just going to destroy you.
All right, probably.
I think he's probably. I think he's going to destroy you like you destroyed Grassi. That's what I think.
Entirely possible. Entirely.
All right, got one more super chat from Uncultured. All right. Uncultured Barbarian, thank you for the super chat. You can beat kids in Madden. I pounded the paste out of both my nephews when they challenged me. I was so proud when one came back to beat me later.
No, that's don't true. Get me wrong. Like, I that's face true. Off against anybody and everybody online. Like, when you're doing Madden, they, like, match you up live online with anybody. And you will get kids who, like, talk all sorts of nonsense, and then you whoop their ass. But, like, it's LaFleur's kid. I can't do that. I just
somebody put I need an I own the kids shirt. I own the kids shirt. Oh dear.
That's so good.
All right.
That is so good.
We kid.
We kid because we love. Hey, real quick, let's give a shout out to our Patreon members. Patreon members really are the lifeblood of Cheesehead TV. Anyone who has, like, thought about it, now's a great time to hop on and support the website, support the brand. All we ask is $5 a month, and it supports everything we do. Video, content, social, anything and everything having to do with Cheesehead TV. And speaking of Patreon, shout out to all the Patreon members who showed up for our first ever meetup at Lambeau Field on Saturday night.
Yes.
Great group. I was kind of blown away, actually. I mean, there were people from everywhere. Heard so many great stories about Packers fandom, how you became Packers fans, how you discovered Cheesehead TV. It was awesome. I can't thank you guys enough, each and every one of you who made the trip in. I heard from a lot of people who wanted to be there and couldn't. Hopefully next year we'll do something again. And a major, major shout out to Charlene for putting it together and pretty much throwing the thing. I mean, it was her shindig. You know, we just kind of showed up. Charlene, obviously, number one Cheesehead TV fan, we thank you eternally because that was a ball. We had a blast. It was great. Great time. Meeting, putting faces to names, all of it. Anything else, Corey, before we head out?
No. Let's win the Sunday. See it. Oh, we're coming back to Watch Party. I know you missed us. Tyler Herrick did an amazing job last week.
Shout out, Tyler Herrick.
Shout out.
Phenomenal.
It was fun to listen to Tyler doing it and having a great time. He really brought a lot of energy. But Nagler and I will be there this Sunday. Be there or be square.
Watch Party Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants Live. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
What do we like to do? Put the best what out there? Come on, Nagler, help me out. Best five, all right? Best five.